Invoke some auspiciousness, chant nice mantra to Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. As Chaturatma mentioned, that challenging times for our mind when we're so used to things going on in a certain way and now things aren't the way they always are, and it can be a little disturbing to the mind. So I thought I'd discuss a little bit about the mind, what we can do to help control it, and how to utilize the mind and intelligence to become transcendental to everything and to be very peaceful. So on the screen there, it's a very familiar picture of our amusement ride that we're on right now. We're the little frightened soul in the very back, the passenger. And then we've got a bunch of really wild horses out there, all of our senses, got the five main ones there. And then the reins are the mind. And then we have a driver. And the driver happens to be totally blind. So you can imagine what it would be like to be in a car or anything like that, and your senses are just going wild. I used to have horses, actually, when I was a kid. And I would take them out, and it was always a you know, a little difficult to control them. But then when they wanted to go back to the barn, there was nothing you could do to hold them back. Nothing. You could rip their mouth apart. You could pull as hard as you wanted on those reins. But they knew what they wanted to do, and they were back to the barn. So this is, we've got a lot of those busy senses, those very stubborn senses. That's what the body is made of. And we're busy all the time. Our senses are totally being absorbed in millions of things, bombarded by so many things. And even in our dreams, I woke up the other morning, I was exhausted because I had this dream that was just so filled with everything you could think of. And I was just, you know, I felt like I hadn't gone to sleep. I felt like I'd been in a wrestling match or something. So busy, busy, busy. And very intense, because if the intelligence is not dictating to the mind what to do, what not to do, what direction to go, where not to go, then we're going to have a very uncontrolled situation. When we were in Atlanta one time with the girls, we usually had a Christmas, the marathon at Christmas time, and one girl had to get to the airport to go home for Christmas, so it happened to be, you know, sleet and hail and ice and everything. And the airport in Atlanta is not too far from the temple, but I said, well, she's got to go. All right, I'll go. And I got there somehow and dropped her off, but on the way back, I was only going 10 miles an hour, because I mean, there was hardly anyone on the streets. No one was stupid like I was. And then, but there was a couple of cars on the highway, and someone, you know, came real close, and I had no control. No control whatsoever. The car ran into somebody. It was a strange feeling not to have any control whatsoever. And that's what it's like for the poor soul. We're in this body, and we're being dragged. We're doing things we don't want to do, and we're taken for a so-called joyride. So we always hear that the mind can be your enemy, or it can be your friend. It can drag you lifetime after lifetime for these rides, or if you choose, you can have it be liberating for you, where you can actually get free from all these bondages that you get to these material things, and you can successfully conquer over and make your mind a friend and become transcendental. So we're going to look at chapter 6, which deals a lot with the mind. Of course, this talks a lot about yoga, and this is definitely the yoga of the mind and much more. So if we look at 6:25, we can read that verse. It says, gradually, gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By proper conviction and intelligence, one should gradually cease sense activities. This is called pratyahara. The mind, being controlled by conviction, meditation, and cessation from the senses, should be situated in trance or samadhi. At that time, there is no longer any danger of becoming engaged in the material conception of life. In other words, although one is involved with matter, as long as the material body exists, one should not think about sense gratification. One should think of no pleasure aside from the pleasure of the Supreme Self. This state is easily attained by directly practicing Krishna consciousness. So this is a little invitation for us to attempt to control the mind, saying here that your intelligence has to be very, very strong. Just like the festivals, we think there's, you know, it's so hard to realize that we can't celebrate the way we want. But overall, we have to realize that Krishna is in control, that he's arranged the whole thing, and that if nothing else, we should be grateful that we have any kind of festival, that we have deities, that we're able to come here and associate with each other. So with a strong intelligence, understanding Krishna's part in everything, we can become more absorbed in our service to Krishna, whatever it may be. So the intelligence needs to be, you know, absorbed in the scriptures to help us, the mind, calm down and understand what to do and what not to, what direction to go to. And then also there's the super soul. We have this. This is a wonderful thing that we can actually understand that Krishna is in everyone and that he's taking care of the whole situation. And he knows what's going on in all of our hearts. And of course there's the guru and the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru to also give us guidance and support in absorbing our mind in Krishna instead of all these other things. If we need to, we have permission to completely disobey the orders of the mind, of an unruly mind. So if you find that your mind is giving you a hard time, you can just say, go in a closet, stay there. So you have permission to do that. Say, I would rather listen to the soul and the super soul. So this is our intelligence has to be firm at this. Other processes of yoga and meditation, other things that other people do to try to meditate and to relieve their mind, don't really do the same deep cleansing that bhakti, engaging in devotional service and engaging ourselves in thinking of Krishna all the time, does. Do any of you have one of those plastic utility sinks that used to be like out here, the prasadam sinks? I've got one in my house. And they have a tendency to absorb dirt and get moldy, and it's really hard to get it out. You can put cleanser in there and you can scrub it and everything, but after a while it doesn't go away. You have to like pour bleach, right? And then it all of a sudden, boom, like magic, it goes away. So in the same way, if we apply the holy name, then it really goes deep. It does a deep cleansing, and we can actually begin to experience a change in our consciousness. And so this is what the holy name does. So on text 26, it is hinting at this holy name. It says, from wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya realized, just as Arjuna realized, that the other yoga process of artificially trying to control the mind just doesn't make it here in this Kali Yuga. We can't control our mind hardly at all, even for a few minutes. But the holy name, how attracted are we? How much do you all miss the kirtans and bhajans? So much, right? It's so much we miss it because it completely brings your mind around from whatever you're doing, and it definitely gives a relief. Mantra, it definitely relieves you from something, anxiety. So this is the power, the bleach that we need to really go deep. And of course, the chanting of japa offenselessly and purely does also the same cleansing effect. So it's also mentioned that I mentioned the super soul. So if we look at 13:29, it tells a little bit about the part of the super soul, how important it is that we also connect with the super soul. It says, one who sees the super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. So this also is really important in dealing with the mind. It describes here that the degradation means to actually to destroy other people with what you say, and not to appreciate them, not to elevate them. So the mind can do that if it's not realizing that there is a soul and super soul in every single living entity. With that vision of actually seeing that person inside, we want to help them. And that will deliver our mind in the same way. Usually the mind is addicted to sense gratification and it's only thinking of ourselves. But this, like, understanding that everyone is part of Krishna, that really helps. And then compassion can develop, which is an important state of mind that we saw in Srila Prabhupada, always so compassionate. So some outsiders may come and pull up to their apartment or something like that and see the devotees get out of the car, go in their apartment, leave for work. Their kids come home and they're thinking that the devotees have the same life. What's so different about devotees? You know, what's going on? What makes them different? The training, especially in training the mind, makes a big difference. We learn to put Krishna first and in the center. That's our main thing. So if you go in our homes, the center of the home is the altar. The center of our lives is, what do we do for Krishna today? Getting up early, rearranging our lives so that we can hear and glorify and become absorbed in the holy name. So there's a big difference in what goes on in a devotee's life. And it really requires training. I had an opportunity to train somebody a little bit about how to offer food and a little bit about how not to taste and smell and things like that. And it's new to us because we have a tendency to just think of how we normally do things and we enjoy sense gratification. And a little success was there, I think. And the other day during the festival, someone gave me Prabhupada's garland off of him. So I put it on. I was walking around. I saw this person, and they go, "Wow!" And I say, "Here, take it and put it on." He goes, "Oh, but can I smell it?" Yeah. So it makes a difference, and therefore we get trained, and this helps us because there are some austerities of the mind. If we go to chapter 17, text 16, it talks about the austerities of the mind. And so let's read that. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are austerities of the mind. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity and thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. So this is an important thing. Austerity is usually not something that we like to do, but it's something that we need to do. And even in the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere, it says that this chanting of the holy names, japa, this is a great sacrifice. This is meant for this age. So our chanting in particular, in devotional service, this is an austerity for the mind because it's purifying. It's purifying us and it makes us satisfied. So satisfied that we don't want to go out there and try to enjoy all these other things. We're inside, we can go inside and find silence there. But not the silence, just nothing. But we, instead, inside of ourselves we find Krishna consciousness. And this is actually the pleasure that we're looking for by looking for in the sense gratification. So these austerities also, what's another one here? It says satisfaction, just being satisfied, and self-control. That is achieved also by engaging the mind in service, thinking, what can I do for Radharani? I noticed that there wasn't very many presents for Krishna on his birthday. So maybe we can make up and bring some presents for Srimati Radharani and Krishna be pleased. But usually I go in the pujari room, there's all kinds of beautiful new jewelry and all kinds of beautiful things for Krishna. And we can't forget that, to engage ourselves in these festivals and still bring gifts for the Lord and for his most wonderful Radharani. So these are all austerities of the mind, absorbing how we can please Krishna instead of ourselves. And that is what is discussed here in general, is that when we are pleased in our mind and satisfied with ourselves, then we'll start thinking of other people. And that's the greatest satisfaction for the mind, is to think of other people's welfare. I know that sometimes when I really anxiety or some weird thing happens, something great, distress or anything like that, I would just say, oh, I hope someone invites me to go to a preaching program, or I hope I get a nice letter on Christian.com or something to preach. Because immediately when someone says, oh, can you tell me about Krishna? You're off on a different transcendental airway. You just leave. You leave the material existence when you're talking about Krishna, when you're preaching, when you're helping others to find Krishna. You're just gone. You're just in the spiritual world. And all your other problems, you forget your other problems, and you just, if they're there, they're insignificant. The most important thing is that I help this person. Because I know that if they become Krishna conscious, they too will learn this art of transcendence, which is so important. We really need to learn this art of transcendence. And it's hard. It's a hard to control the mind. We have to be with it 24 hours a day. And it's not an easy thing to do. But if we don't, then the results are that we become very embarrassed. We think we're this body, and then we surrender to this body and the senses. In the Miami Beach Hotel, I had a little girl's ashram on the fifth floor, and I could look right down into the hotel next to me. And Miami Beach was known as the changing bodies exhibit, because you would see all different age, especially the tail end of life, you'd see the old people come there, especially from the north. And they would go out there in their 70, 80, 90-year-old bodies and get tan as they could get, and they would put on their red lipstick at night and their heels and their tight dresses at 80 and 90 years old and go and play shuffleboard and dance and try to have a really good time. It was embarrassing watching this because you thought, come on, give up, you know, and it's like you're beyond hope. But still, that even to the time of death, it's embarrassing, you just want to enjoy. I know Prabhupada was in tears when he said, what are those people doing out there on those fields? And they were playing golf. And said, they're so old. What do you do? Hit the ball, you know? And they described how you hit the ball in the little hole. And Prabhupada just said, this is not what you do with your mind and intelligence in the human form, especially in the later years. This is the time to get control of the senses and to engage in Krishna consciousness. And become very serious about your spiritual life, not serious about extending your sense gratification to the very end. So there's an example, a very nice example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the very opposite flip side of this whole thing of engaging the mind. And this is how to perfect the engagement of your mind. It's CC, Majalilas, 21107. And this is the perfection of the mind's engagement. So this is a translation. It's really beautiful. It's a whole different picture. Because it says, favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds. And just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he's also called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis, though they are very proud of their super excellent beauty. Becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages in the rasa dance. So they've surrendered their minds to be absorbed in Krishna, and they are willing to become captured by Krishna. That's what they've done with their minds. And that's what Prabhupada has been training us. He's been trying to train us to engage in these regular devotional activities, beginning early in the morning and chanting japa and doing service, whatever we can, and raising our families in Krishna consciousness, absorbing our minds in the temple worship or our worship home, and trying to become captivated by Krishna. And hopefully he'll steal our hearts also. So this is, gopis of course have perfected this. And even though they're so excellent and so beautiful and everything, they're just captivated by Krishna, and therefore Krishna takes their minds. So we have a little ways to go, but we find that it's an opportunity that we can, even in these 24 hours a day, we get advice how to achieve this in a gradual way, just like the first verse we read. It's a gradual process of conviction of our intelligence. So Govindadas, in his Prayers to the Mind, he advises just engage in one of the nine processes of devotional service. Just find one. Hear, chant, remember, worship the deity. Pick one. Pick 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Prabhupada engages us in all of them. But he didn't say you have to do all of them. Just, he said, even just one will give you satisfaction, will give you control of your mind, and give you some happiness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives advice. Manasa Deha Geha. He says, my mind I just surrender to you. My house I surrender to you. My family I surrender to you. Just in your heart, just give them to Krishna and say, take over, please. And then there is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gives some very nice practical advice. He says, get a broom when you wake up in the morning and sweep out your mind. And at night, beat it with a shoe. So whatever you have to do. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he gave his advice to, in our spare time, that's when the mind, you know, what's the devil, mind. Yeah, so when our mind is not busy, then watch out. So Prabhupada says, in all your spare time, pick up a book, read, or chant extra round, or something like that. And then this will keep you from being bombarded. And then no more crazy rides in Kali Yuga. It's only getting darker and darker, and the senses are going to go more berserk all the time. So I've been reading in my reading at night about Ajamil, and he had a problem. He was raised very nicely. He really had together. He had good training, but his intelligence got a little bit loosened up, and his mind caught hold of a prostitute enjoying with somebody, and he lost it so quickly. Papa says it's like a razor's edge that we're on here in this material world. We can, and it doesn't take much for us to go off. So he did. He lost it, and he had many children, but he gave the name of the Lord to one of his children, and at the time of death he chanted that name. And he was delivered. And he was saved by that holy name. So, and then when he was given release, what did he do? He didn't look back. He only thought, I'm going to disobey my mind. I'm going to go straight to Hardwar, and I'm just going to engage my mind in devotional service. So this is what we have to do, even on a daily basis, or even in our japa period, when our mind goes crazy and goes off doing something, this becomes doing something illicit with our mind. Don't look back, just go forward and call out Krishna's name, and he will help us have that second chance, or third chance, in many of our cases, many chances, to obtain this opportunity to become transcendental and be caught up by Krishna and taken away back to the spiritual world. So the ultimate test, of course, is at the time of death. King Kulukshekhar, he said that, I wish I could leave my body now. I've got it together. I'm sitting in front of the deities right now. And I'm thinking of Krishna, I'm preaching, and I wish you'd just take me now. And then I had the best of hopes. I'm sitting right next to Prabhupada. The tests are a little bit stronger than that. And it can be a little scary. Sometimes we're thinking that old age, oh boy, you know, there's dementia, there's all kinds of things, you know, the mind and the senses and the intelligence might not be strong, and I might not have it together. So what to do? We're reminded elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, which verse is it, I don't know, that it says that you have your gross body and your subtle body, but beyond that, you aren't that material body, you aren't that subtle body, you're the soul. So although we're talking about the intelligence and the soul and how to deal with it and how to use it, we're not those things. We're that little soul in the back being driven around. So what we have to do is utilize the advantage of bhakti yoga, this highest yoga system, to really delve into the heart and utilize the intelligence and the mind and all these things to make the heart a temple. That doesn't go away. The soul is there and the super soul is there till the time of death. And so we have to somehow rather decorate the heart with the nine processes of devotional service, and we have to make it a wonderful, beautiful consciousness, all the atmosphere, just a wonderful consciousness of service attitude. And then we have to play beautiful music. We have to sing the holy names inside all the time. I know that some people that I work with, I'm sure they're complaining that I don't chant all the time while I'm working. But I do a lot of things where I really have to concentrate. And I'm sorry about that. But inside, I find that I'm actually chanting. All of a sudden, the tunes are just... They just roll inside you after you chant for so many years. You know, they're just there on the tip of your tongue. You're either singing or chanting, or even you're saying Gayatri all during the day. These things are just there. So because they're in the heart, we've planted them in the heart. When Lakshmani had her stroke in the ashram, people came by and people said, "Can you know where you are? You know who you are? You know the president of the United States? You know what country you're in?" No. I said, "Can you chant Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." Got the whole mantra right. So, yes, these things all are for our benefit. And so we should not be disturbed. That gradually this is all going to our heart, and we have to make it really quality. And then what happens is that we get this, what you call HD, high definition. You get a TV that has really high definition. And at the time of death, we're going to see Krishna. We're going to hear Krishna. Even beforehand, if we really concentrate and go inside, and take to this process of purification, Papa says we can hear and see Krishna even in this material body. And the proof is that there's one devotee, mother of one of my ashram teachers, who... got a brain tumor, couldn't see, couldn't do it, you know, she was leaving her body, and her relatives came and said, she pretended like she couldn't talk or understand or conscious, and so she didn't want to be around a karmic, anyone that wasn't a devotee. And then somehow or other, a conversation, someone was saying something, and she replied that, you know, "I'm fixing Krishna's lunch bag every day." So she was actually... You know, she was that deeply engaged in the soul in her heart with Krishna. So this is a reality. Krishna consciousness can happen to any one of us. It happened to Ajamil, happens to so many people. So we have to feed Krishna nicely in our hearts. We have to feed him with all these wonderful processes of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned that if you want to get rid of an unwanted guest, just don't feed them. And then they go away. So the best thing to do is to feed Krishna 24 hours a day with the holy name. And then Krishna will even come and feed us. Just like Bilwa Dal Thakur. He was just sitting there and Krishna came every day with milk, right? And then Madhavendra Puri. Krishna stole and stole the milk, the sweet milk for him. So when Krishna's really pleased of us feeding him all that we have in our hearts, and praying Prabhupada to do all the rest, which is probably a lot, then he will deliver us and we can transcend and be able to handle all these trivial little things that are going on in our lives, and we can realize that the most important thing we have right now, that the priority is, no matter what's going on in the material world, is that we take serious this bhakti yoga. It's the highest yoga. It will link us to Krishna. All the other yogas, it are just gradual processes. So we're very lucky. It's an active yoga. We can do so many things for Krishna, and this will help keep our mind very busy in Krishna's business. So maybe someone has some other guidance they can give about the mind.
Most of the people don't even know what's the difference between mind and the self. So they think mind, they identify mind as the self. What is your suggestion for them?
Yeah, a lot of people think the intelligence is also situated in the heart, or that we are the intelligence. You have to get a higher taste. You have to utilize the mind and the intelligence and get that higher taste by stepping up off the mental platform. Just like even in japa, we can be on the mental platform the whole time and not be hearing. So the most important thing is that we step up and enter into our ears a spiritual sound vibration, which will free us from that mental platform. So it's a determination we have to have, that especially in japa, which is such an important part of our day in molding our consciousness, that we just, you know, don't listen to the mind, we just listen to the holy name. And we take it to our heart. We don't let it settle in the intelligence, we don't let it settle anywhere else except for in the heart. And that's a workout. It takes a lifetime, or two or three. So, we have to learn to hear Krishna in our heart, and beg the mind and intelligence to cooperate. But after you do, when you get a higher taste, you realize that the mental platform and intellectual platform, if it's pure, then it's enlivening and it's elevating. But the real transcendence of the soul, that's our spiritual greatest pleasure. Okay. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai, Bhakti Yoga Ki Jai, Mahamantra Ki Jai.